The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. We don't care which way. We just appreciate it any which way. Truly grateful for that you make us part of your morning each and every morning. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Circa. Still to come this hour, Matt Lindemann joins us, the assistant director of trading over at The Win, but he's still betting college sports. We have him for college baseball sometimes. We got him for college football today, obviously college basketball as well.
Yep.
So he runs the gamut. So we'll talk. He's got three best bets in college football. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. By the way, Jason wrote a Mein Kampf on Skeens versus Merrill at VSiN.com. It's amazing.
I saw it was up. I didn't get a chance to read it.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if you – in the end, I read the whole thing, and I'm still like, Skeens probably still going to win. That was my thought.
Right, yeah,
but
yeah.
But it's still – it's really well thought out, and you should check that out. Not during this show, but you should check it out at some point. And Tyler Shoemaker standing by to talk WNBA and college football with us. We get tweets at Beating the Book because I think this Matthew Sluka story is fascinating to most. Jason McKinney says, he goes, the biggest question of the college football holdouts is, can the midseason transfers be updated on EA College Football 25?
There is great question.
There is that consideration, of course. And then there's a couple more here. And I think Bainbridge DeWeese, I know an FBS head coach, and he has to chase down people who promise to pay NIL money to his players all the time.
Yeah, this is wild.
Surprised we haven't seen this story before and frequently. I am with you.
I agree.
If
that's really what's going on, how have we not seen this become a problem already?
Well, this is, listen, the biggest thing that I've always said about this is we don't really have any idea the kind of dollars we're talking about here. This is in the millions for some, and it is big time stuff going on. You have something you wanted to.
Yeah, there's Pete Thamel a little bit on the story about a half hour ago. If NIL representation that Sluka had, Marcus Cromartie of Equity Sports told ESPN that Sluka was verbally promised a minimum of $100,000 from a UNLV assistant coach for transferring there. None of that money was paid per Cromartie. The only money that Sluka has received from UNLV per Cromartie is a $3,000 relocation stipend for his move. Cromartie said there was never an ask for more money after UNLV's hot start, only in the initial amount he was promised. Several more tweets from Pete on that, so head over to...
Well, this is from Adam Rittenberg at ESPN. It says, Bob Sluka, father of Matthew Sluka, UNLV's quarterback, told ESPN that his son's agents agreed to an NIL deal with the school back in February, never received payments despite requests, and never asked for any adjustments to the original deal. Quote... We have no idea what the hell happened. They keep deferring. We don't know. You have to wait, Bob Sluka told Adam Rittenberg. Then it was like, we're going to give him game checks. So we're like, okay, great. We did not ask for a single dollar more. Sluka added that Matt's living expenses weren't even covered. So again, it's a complete he said, she said at this point, or wow, he said in this case. And so it really comes down to what you believe, and none of us knows the truth at this point.
That's wild.
Yeah. And you can, if the Sluka side is telling the truth, I can totally get their point of view. If they're not, it's like college football mayhem.
right.
Yeah. By the way, thank you to Matthew Sosnick for pointing out the Adam Rittenberg piece to me. Let's talk some college football and some WNBA with Tyler Shoemaker, who's kind enough to join us right now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Tyler, before any segment with you, we like to show a little Tyler Shoemaker basketball video, please. Let's roll it, ladies and gentlemen. Tyler Shoemaker,
another good one, yeah.
On the court. Here he is. Oh, he's 23.
Nice triple threat baseline. Watch out for the hezzy.
Oh, the hezzy and the bait behind the back to the rack. Tyler Shoemaker not shy of wearing number 23, Michael James Jordan. There you go.
Doing the whole I'm trapped on the baseline, but no, he was never trapped, Gil. Never trapped.
Tyler, what do you have to say for yourself?
It was a championship game, and I was locked in.
Championship game on what level? What was that?
Yeah, that's just my local rec league.
Oh, okay.
Quick funny story. We did play Dabo Sweeney's team in the championship of that league a couple of years ago and beat him pretty bad.
Was Dabo playing or was he just coaching?
Yeah, no, he played.
He played. Is he good?
Yeah, he's pretty. I mean, especially for his age, he's pretty good.
Okay,
right. Is the team called Dabo's team?
Dabo's team.
No, but it is him and a couple of his sons and then a couple of former Clemson football players. So it was pretty cool. Wow.
Okay.
By the way, Tyler, I'm not even kidding. That was a heck of a move.
Yeah, it really is.
Look at this. Look at this kid. You. This kid on defense has no idea what's going on.
No, I know.
What has happened? All right, Tyler. By the way, at T-Shoe Index, explain the Tyler Shoemaker Index to everybody listening, first of all.
Yeah, I mean, at the most basic level, it's just an opponent and tempo-adjusted rating system that I use for WNBA, men's and women's college basketball, and college football and NFL. I want to be able to answer the question, how many points would Team A be expected to score and allow against Team B? Is that simple?
Well, let's start with the WNBA. Obviously, the Liberty and the Aces are through. They win the sweep in their mini sweep of a 2-0 series, respectively. So they are on their way after Sabrina Ionescu scored 36, added 9 assists for the Liberty last night. Kelsey Plum went off for the Aces, so they are through. Tonight we have a couple games, the first of which involves Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever. They are trying to stave off elimination. Do you have a play in this game?
I do. I'm on the Sun in this game. When I saw the playoff bracket come out, I said, the Fever, this is a bad matchup for the Fever. The Sun are extremely physical. They love to play defense. They love to talk trash, which I can appreciate. So I don't think the Fever are quite veteran enough to be able to handle that type of physicality, both physically and the emotional toll that kind of takes on you over the course of a game and a series of someone just kind of beating on you and letting you know about it. I think this is a bad matchup for the Fever. I'm on the Sun. I took it -6 and -7, so I like them to win pretty big.
All right, 6.5 right now in that game. And then the nightcap tonight, Mercury and the Lynx. The Lynx trying to sweep the Mercury. The Lynx favorite here. Did you make a play pre-flop in this one?
I did. I took over 160 in this game. I think the Lynx can really light it up. They can really shoot the ball. Even their forwards can really shoot it. And the Mercury are capable of lighting it up on the offensive end, but their defense is atrocious. So I like the over. The over went sailed by about 40 points in game one. And most of the matchups these teams have played this year, the total's gone over this 160 or 160.5 mark. So I like the over in this game.
All right. Lynx favored by 9.5 to put the Mercury away again. Tyler's pick over 160.5. WNBA and baseball with the full stage tonight. College football weekend. First of all, how's your college football season gone so far, betting wise?
Pretty good. Last weekend was pretty rough. I had some terrible beats. I had about 3 or 4. I was on Baylor against Ooh. Colorado. I've got Baylor Ooh. +2. They're up 7 with 2 seconds left, and I lose the bet.
Yeah.
So that pretty much summarized my college football weekend. But we are up on the season. We're up about a unit right now in college football. So it's been kind of back and forth so far, but. Having a lot of fun doing it nonetheless.
Yeah, there was a lot of amazing finishes in college football this past week. None more so than that one where, again, the thing that gets lost for those who didn't see it, Colorado basically had a Hail Mary before the actual one that worked and was dropped at the 2-yard line. So I'm sure your emotions were up and down in that regard. What did you land on here this week?
Yeah, so this week I like a couple of totals. I'm on Houston, Iowa State under. I like it really at 42 or better is one of my better bets. And then Boise and Washington State. I think the line on that last time I checked was 64.5. I like the over there pretty significantly.
All right. And explain to us the your index. What is it based on? What are the factors that you're putting into the whole goulash there?
Yeah. So efficiency metrics, mostly like, you know, points per play rather than just, you know, total yards or something like that, that I think can sometimes just produce a lot of noise when you're looking at that data. So I think the efficiency metrics are much more important and much more predictive.
All right. And would you say of all these sports, which would you say is your sort of bread and butter? Which is the one that you do the best in?
Probably WNBA or women's college basketball, just because those are softer markets. Last college basketball season, when I would put out a women's play, I mean, within 10, 15 minutes, the line would move 2 or 3 points, you know, in the favor of the play that I gave out. So I really like those markets. They're much softer, obviously. I've been doing really well in NFL so far. I think we're up about 7 units in NFL so far this year as well.
Yeah, I would imagine, not to in any way lessen or minimize what you're saying about women's college basketball, what I would imagine anyone with a platform betting women's college basketball with any degree of success would probably move that market some. But good on you for finding something and exploiting it. Tyler Shoemaker, everybody, at T-Shoe Index on the old Twitter machine. And keep the basketball moves coming, man. They look great.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Tyler Shoemaker, VSiN contributor, always on VSiN.com with his picks in all kinds of sports.
Yeah. Yeah, he's all, one of our great writer contributors on the website, is all over the place, like you said.
Yeah, WNBA thing is interesting because I was watching the Mets and the Phillies in the sports book yesterday at the Aria, and there is obviously not only the baseball games that mattered on the screens, but there was also the two WNBA mm-hmm. games. And it is hard not to get wrapped up in those games.
Yeah.
The Liberty, that game was very close, late. The Aces went out to a big lead, then it got tight, and then before they ended up breaking it open. But I think between the Phillies, Mets, and Caitlin Clark, I'm not sure what will get more of my attention tonight.
I think that also depends on what type of game Caitlin Clark's having and how close it is, right? Because, yeah, I mean, look, when she gets going, it's kind of must-watch TV. It really is. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah. Mets, come on. Do something. Just win one of these, for God's sakes. And Diamondbacks, you too. My God. These baseball bets down the stretch are so painful to watch when there's so few games left. It's on your racket still. Just do what you have to. Like the Royals yesterday, just eking out the 1-0 lead.
Oh,
while the Twins are getting rolled by the Marlins. You're like, hey, Royals, it's right there for you.
It's right there.
Just score a run. Come on.
I mean, it's amazing how tight these races are down the final week here. And then, I mean, we've been bringing it up every day for, what, a month, 2 months now. The best record is just incredible.
The best record thing is amazing.
Yeah.
That one's amazing. In a year where no one will come close to even sniffing 100 wins as the White Sox set records for futility on the other side. We'll come back, some NFL betting stats. That's next on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Are you ready to try something different? Sign up to start playing the ponies on First Bet. First Bet's U.S. based and offers wagering on hundreds of races every day from across the country and around the world. Sign up at firstbet.com. That's firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. Use promo code VSIN200 to claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days, up to $200. Head to firstbet.com today. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. By the way, we didn't Major League Baseball. We always update the monthlies. I was going through all my futures and all the monthly bets for the whole year, March, April, May, June, July, August, September. So 6 months of these, and how, we were one out away from hitting a 65-1 in March, April. The Guardians in May was 16-1, and it really came. They almost got there. It was like the last day they got eliminated. Won it on the Astros, 25-1 and 17-1 in June.
Yep.
And then from there, it kind of was a perfect graph downwards. So the Royals were like top 10 in July. The Mets were not competitive last month, and the Diamondbacks not competitive all this month. So maybe, I don't know if there's anything to that in terms of it becomes more difficult to wrap your arms around handicapping wise, or if that's just how it went this year. But it's definitely something to keep in mind next year. I will say this, that market, which in March, April was put up by DraftKings and Circa and William Hill Caesars. And then thereafter, DraftKings sort of punted on it. And it was only Circa and William Hill Caesars. Playing those markets has made the baseball season so much more fun. And instead of it being a 6 month slog, became this thing that you could just, cordon off 30 days at a time. Was awesome.
I mean, I think they've been so cool that, like, I brought this up on a show. I'll bring it back up again. Like, Major League Baseball should just, like, kick these guys some extra money for, like, these monthly races. Like, how do you keep interest going through, like, especially the beginning part of the season, right? When there's NBA and NHL playoffs and stuff. Like, when you have money on these bets, they're sure fun every month to watch how this stuff goes. So, I don't know. I think the players might get excited if there's a little extra bonus check at the end of each month.
It's funny. Even when it looks like somebody's going to blow out the field, it never happens, and here it is. It's gotten tight again. The Mets at 15-6 are your leaders, but the Padres are 14-5. Tigers 14-6. those are the teams. Those teams are really in it because, again, it's circa the tiebreaker is fewest losses. So the Padres would win that currently. And then it's run differential. At William Hill Caesars, they dead heat it, which is never fun. But that's where it stands right now. Mets clinging to a lead against both the Padres and the Tigers for the month of September. Will Hill's thing is the funniest with this, where he really wants a reporter to stick a microphone in. Like, I think it was, he was using the example last month, or was it the year, the month before, where the Mets kind of gacked it. They ended up in a dead heat. The month that we won with the Astros beat them outright at circa, but we dead heated with the Mets at William Hill Caesars. And he was like, someone should stick a mic in like Pete Alonso's mouth and be like, so you blew that whole monthly. And Alonso's like, what are you talking about?
Right. Yeah, what are you talking about?
That's the trippy part about this bet, is that it has nothing to do with anything in real life. So it's not like they're playing for a championship or anything like that.
But that's what I'm saying. You throw a little money into the mix, Gil. You know,
it's like
the
NBA's doing an in-game tournament.
Yeah, exactly. I think in-season tournament in the NBA has been fantastic.
All right. You have some football stats you wanted to get to.
Well, we check in with this stuff every once in a while, but, you know, I always want to give it a few weeks. But just looking at who's kind of, you know, performed well against the spread, who hasn't, and I think a lot of these are kind of obvious at the beginning of the season, but the over-unders are interesting to look at as well. So best ATS team so far, no surprise, Vikings and Steelers at the top. Look at those Vikings numbers. The margin of victory, over 18 points per game, over 19 points on the ATS plus minus. Grab these from team rankings. That is how much they are overperforming the spread on a weekly basis so far. So, yeah, Steelers, the other 3-0 team, ATS, Saints, Bills, Packers, your top 2-1 teams. But you'll notice, obviously, with the Saints, big margin of victory in ATS plus minus numbers as well. The Bills, that one is maybe the most impressive to me, Gil, because it's not like this is a team that was being slept on as much as the other ones that are on this graphic before the season, right?
I must put the disclaimer in, though, with all this, which is, again, for any newer bettors who are going to look at those numbers and be like, oh, my God, these are so interesting. These must matter. It's only three games.
It's three games.
And it's really, obviously, with only three games, more massively opponent dependent than anything, right? When it's only three games. So let's not go crazy with these, but I would say the Vikings is the most interesting of those for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, I think, yeah. I mean, what, even end of the season, when we look back at who the best ATS teams were, right? It's usually the team that you weren't expecting to be that great heading into the year and, it, you know, overperform. Well,
that's kind of how it works with the market. Yep.
Yeah. All right. Worst ATS team. So a lot of not surprises on here. Dolphins 0-3.
Could the Dolphins, by the way, this brings up another discussion. Yeah. Could the Dolphins just, by the way, the Dolphins 0-3, they are not. They are 1-2. We should point that out. They did beat the Jaguars. But we talk about the last winless, and we talk about, okay, obviously the contenders right now are the three 0-3s, which are the Titans, the Bengals, and of course the Jaguars. And we have the Jaguars and the Dolphins slipped there in terms of the record that we have on the screen here. But there we go. No, there's flipped. Okay. So those are the teams that we talk about for last winless. But in terms of like the whole season, could it be that the Dolphins might just have this god-awful season?
Yeah.
Like, I'm starting to feel that way. Obviously, the Tua injury is part of this. He'll be out for at least another three games. Skylar Thompson has shown, you know, that whole thing about, hey, if you hold the clipboard, and I said that with Jordan Love, it hasn't taken with Skylar Thompson at this point, at least of what we've seen. But I just wonder if those teams we're looking at right now, and you're showing the margin of victory, which is obviously inverted there to the minus 13, and the amount at which they are, behind the eight ball in terms of the spread, is there a scenario where they end up with the worst record?
Oh, man. I guess I don't know if I'd go that far unless we knew that Tua was out for a long time, right. But yeah, I mean, I think how that offense is designed. I mean, look, the defense has flaws, and that was a concern already heading into the season.
They're just always banged up beyond Tua, too, it seems like, on offense.
Yeah, I mean, I almost compare them to the Niners a little bit, right? Like, we talked last week, I was so impressed with Brock Purdy, because it's always interesting to see how he's going to perform when you take away the weapons, right? Because I think these offenses are similar in the fact that all the pieces usually need to be involved for them to have that highest level of success. And with Tua out, I just don't know How threatening are those wide receivers? How threatening can they be? It just a bet. I think great. No matter what website you go to look at this type of stuff, you always got to keep in mind what spread is each one of these grabbing. This was a number that was around 3 or 3.5, so didn't cover in some shops. So that's where Team Rankings had them at 0-3 at least.
All right. So the Dolphins, the worst of the ATS teams to this point. Best over teams.
Cowboys, Ravens, all 3-0 to the over so far. Commanders, Panthers, Bills, 2-1. How about
Panthers? Let's talk about this from just a more macro perspective. Of those that are on, and again, you don't want to go crazy after three games, but of those five teams, Cowboys and Ravens being the two that have gone over each of the three times they've played, do you feel like, you know how we talk about this in gambling circles? Oh, this is an over team. Oh, this is an under team.
Yes.
The Cowboys do feel like an over team, don't they?
Cowboys and Commanders for sure.
Yeah, with good offenses. Sorry, Cowboys. That's tenuous at this point.
Yeah.
But let's just say Cowboys and Commanders feel like they have really good offenses and, more importantly, really just suspect defenses.
I'm trying to think who else you can throw in there. Cardinals, I've been approaching that way basically all season so far, and I don't really expect that to change. It is kind of funny because I think I've been attracted to a lot of under bets so far this year, but there are some teams that you like. Those three teams we're talking about right now, that I'm not running to bet an under ever on them without bad defenses.
I'm already thinking ahead. I'm sorry to cut you up. Thinking ahead with the best under teams, that the Steelers would be the one that leaps off the page for that. Right?
We can jump to that. A lot of unders hitting this year means that we have plenty of 3-0 to the under teams to discuss. Lions, Steelers, Dolphins, Falcons, Bears, all on there.
See, that's interesting. The Lions is surprising, because that offense has really not been on all cylinders at this point.
Well, and that's the thing, right?
And the Dolphins, again, like, that would be the big, like, if you were to say this before the season, like, hey, what if the Dolphins end up being this not only bad team, but a sort of reliable under team?
Yeah.
You'd be like, that can't possibly be what happened.
Yeah.
Well, and this is what I'm worried about also, because I love him so much, but Mike McDaniel, did I get that right?
Yeah.
Mike McDaniel, I always said this about him. Like, the whole thing about him being quirky and nerdy is great until you have a losing record, and then the NFL Neanderthals will go after you like they did Brandon Staley, right?
Yep. And that is definitely occurring right now. Dolphins, Falcons, Lions, a lot of this too. So I like that you broke this down. It's the, hey, you got to take all this with a grain of salt. What can you actually, pull from this and learn from this? And, when we talk about the Lions, Dolphins, Falcons, these are all three teams that were expected to have high-powered offenses going into the season. So that also means that they've had some of the higher totals on the board for every game that they've played in, right? So it's really just kind of you're not looking at any of those teams and saying, wow, their defenses are amazing.
Well,
it's just the offense is falling flat.
Yeah, and I just think the practical standpoint of these are, don't take them as the gospel. Think to yourself, all right, of those, who's going to be a, sort of a chronically over team, and who's going to be a chronically under team? And that's kind of the purpose of this exercise. Jason Weingarten's on the other side. He's got thoughts baseball and beyond. That's next on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
So funny with football. The difference between football and every other sport is you can't say anything bad about a football team without someone, a fan of that team, just going nuts.
Yeah.
Reza.
You got immediate reaction.
Reza, Dolphins fan in San Francisco, or actually in Oakland, wherever he is these days, El Cerrito. Don't ask how he became a Dolphins fan. He goes, Your take with the Dolphins having the worst record is way off. Tua will be back after IR. Snoop will lead them to wins. Come on, Gil. By the way, and then he throws it this. I love when people like data mine for stats. He says, P.S. Miami's defense is ranked second in almost every category, second half of games. Really?
Okay.
What's their third quarter stats? You want to quote me those? As opposed to, say, the palm readers. Who tweets and he goes, does anyone know why Josh Johnson was made backup in Baltimore over Tyler Huntley? Seems strange and potentially very concerning for Miami. I think that's very valid.
Yeah, again, we got the question about Snoop. Tyler Huntley is going by Snoop these days.
He's going by Snoop.
Just in case you're wondering about that. So, yeah.
And they picked up Tyler Huntley last week.
Yeah, signed him off his off the Baltimore practice squad.
Yeah. So the Skylar Thompson to Tim Boyle thing becomes a Snoop Huntley thing.
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay. McDaniel said yesterday that they're considering options at quarterback.
Yeah. The Dolphins fan, Reza here, did concede. He does not like McDaniel's game planning. Says it's awful. So here it comes, right?
Well, last week it was weird,
here
right?
It comes.
Because wasn't Tua caught like yelling stuff off the bench and stuff?
Y'all want to go crazy on this guy now just because they're 0-3. Or excuse me, 1-2. Pardon me. Teasers and parlays. I haven't followed baseball as closely as I have this year due to following your monthly bets along with the season-long plays. Let's run it back next year. Oh, we will. No doubt we will. James Sott, I took the Padres for September at 30-1. So you telling me there's a chance? Oh, there's a chance, all right. Absolutely. Padres, man, 2 games behind the Dodgers for the best record in the NL West and in all of baseball.
Oh.
That was our number one season win total over. That one easy peasy. The Cubbies may not get there as our number two. The Cubbies have to win out to get to our second one.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That was looking good a couple weeks ago, too, right?
It was looking better than it does now. Yeah. Jason Weingarten joins us from under a cloud of smoke in Southern California. You can follow him on Twitter at Spreadopedia, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Jason, I just want to say this because I had it earlier on the show. Nice job. I called it your Mein Kampf on Skeens versus Merrill. Really well done.
Thank you. Thank you. It was a nice piece.
Yeah. And I like that you also say, you said that doesn't necessarily mean that Skeens isn't going to win it. But you think, will a lot come down to, let's put it this way with this. I mean, I want people to go read your piece about it. But Skeens is pitching one more time here against, is it the Yankees he's pitching against?
Yeah, on Saturday.
So could it be, I mean, is your hunch that this is so close that the most recency bias of all things will actually win the day? Like if he pitches great in that game, that's going to be enough to sort of, you know, toggle enough voters to his side. And if he doesn't, let's say he gets shelled, the opposite.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think if he gets shelled, at least that gives you another thing to point to. But like I said, read the piece. I think I lay out a pretty good argument as to why, you know, I think both are good. I don't know. Like, what else do you want me to say? I've said it all at this point.
No, I don't want you to say anything else, Jason. I don't want to inconvenience you. I don't want to inconvenience you at all. I just, you know, I think that's an interesting thing to this, that it could be that simple. That it could just come down to one game as the most recent thing that some of these voters will remember. So that's how.
What do you think, though? And let me ask you, because I could totally be off base with this, but the Pirates are in the news all of a sudden for the wrong reasons this week, and it's because they cut Rowdy Tellez over a $200,000 bonus. And, you know, even their own beat writers and stuff are writing columns about how this was just a poor organizational move. Do you think that affects the voting at all? Do you think that's in some voters' minds when they think about rewarding the team, the organization? Because remember, these things, we don't think of these just as the players. There's contracts and bonuses and baseball cards and all sorts of things that come into this when you're the rookie of the year. I don't know. I think it's going to be close.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting thing because what Jason's referring to is that Rowdy Tellez. By the way, I know his cousin Marla, who does the news in Los Angeles. Great, great girl. That she's always talking about Rowdy, and Rowdy's has put himself together a great major league career. He's really lasted a long time for multiple franchises. So he's 4 days of getting a $200,000 bonus, and he needed, four at-bats or 4 games or something? What was it? I can't remember what the exact thing.
4 at-bats.
4 at-bats. Yeah. That's all. He just needed 4 plate appearances, I think it is. And the Pirates are like, yeah, we don't want to pay him $200,000, or that's what people are speculating anyway. And they're like, they DFA'd him. It's an interesting question. Because again, these are human beings voting. And so can we expect that none of these voters will think about that? I hope not, but you're probably right. It probably does seep into their brains. At least a few people it will.
So, yeah, I think it'll be interesting. Okay. Not totally convinced I have a winner, but I think that the moral of this whole story is that the goal is every year to have 45-1 shots that end up, you know, co-favorites at the end of the season. If you do that enough times, you're going to make a lot of money.
You bet anything in baseball today?
Yeah, so I got one play. It's probably a pretty popular play today. It's the Mariners. I laid -130 because obviously the Astros are going to put up a B lineup today after clinching last night. So you get George Kirby. Mariners are still fighting for their, you know, wild card life, barely alive. It's a chance for them to go out and get a win. I think it's still a short price, depending on the lineup we're getting, and I assume it's not going to be a good lineup. Other than that, I'm really my it's Chris Sale, potentially his final start of the season, his last chance to take a lead in the strikeout race. So my attention is all on that game today. If it gets played, it's trending towards not getting a game in today. So I'm starting to wonder what the Braves, contingency plans are to finish the season and when Chris Sale is going to pitch. I have a lot at stake on this last start.
If you're the Braves, what do you do? So let's say this happens. Let's say we don't get in today's game or tomorrow's game. So then the teams go off, the Mets and the Braves, they play what would have been their last series. I'm just sort of talking through this now. Do the Braves, and again, currently Mets in the number two position, half game ahead of the Diamondbacks in the number three position, half game ahead of the Braves, currently on the outside looking in. But remember, the Braves have the tiebreaker on both of those teams. At least right now, the Mets could have something to say about that in the last two games. So right now it's the Mets, the Braves having the tiebreaker. The Mets just have to win. You know, it's a different scenario now, because the way I was phrasing it, hey, Mets just win one of these, then they have the still on their racket heading into the final series. But if it gets flipped around and then they have to wait to play the final two against the Braves, we may know nothing until those final two games. So if you're the Braves, how would you play this with your two aces?
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to sit down with everybody and see what it looks like, what our chances of winning. You know, the next series, I think it's the Royals coming to town. Remember, the Royals have something to play for, too. So yes. You always want to win, the first game and not try to, send it to a second game if you have the chance to end it, or clinch earlier. I'd probably focus on winning the games ahead of me and worrying about the Mets when I have to worry about the Mets, 2 days later, because, you don't win these games, you don't even have to worry about the Mets series on Monday. But
if that's the case, Jason, then that would be widely considered as a big break for the Mets, that they wouldn't have to face these guys if the Braves choose to play it that way. It's just a whole nother element. Obviously, we don't want to know there's people who are in the line of fire here of this hurricane, and we don't want to minimize that. That's obviously the most important thing. We want everybody to be safe. But we do come from the corner of betting, and we all have bets on this. And so forgive us. These are the people we are. That makes this even more fascinating, doesn't it? Because it adds a whole nother twist to it.
Yeah, and there's the whole Diamondbacks thing too. I mean, they're not guaranteed a spot. They're only half a game up. They could fall out. It's a fun final week. It's a stressful final week. Not super thrilled about potentially having to wait a couple more days on Sale and seeing where they slot him in now. But it's never easy. I'm just gonna have to take it as it comes this week.
It also, but again, from the Diamondbacks' perspective, it creates, not that this changes for them because they control their own destiny as is, but it could create a scenario where they would know they're in. Let's just say they won their last four games. It's a big if because they got the Padres too, and the Padres still have something to play for. At least at the beginning of that series, they will. But let's just say the Diamondbacks clinched by winning out. Then it really would be two playoff games between the Braves and the Mets. That would be an incredible scenario.
And it would have to be a doubleheader, right, on Monday, essentially?
Oh, that's brutal if it would have to be a doubleheader.
They can't even move. There's no contingency to move the wild card, right? Like, you have to play a doubleheader on Monday.
Can you imagine that they would decide that on a doubleheader? And I think you're right. They have no wiggle room.
I would reschedule my plans on Monday for a doubleheader.
I would too. I have just clear the schedule. This will be amazing. Imagine if the baseball season ends on that in the National League. Wow. Jason, always fun. And everybody, check out his Skeens Merrill article at vsin.com. Check it out. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it, man.
See you later this week.
Jason Weingarten, everybody. Coming back with Matt Lindemann, a college football three-pack, next, right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, don't forget, at the top of the hour, it's Money Moves with Stormy Bonatoni. Stormy with Matt Brown at noon Eastern today. Matt Brown, you familiar with that guy? You know his work?
Yeah, sort of. Oh. Did a golf podcast last night.
Go on, John. Money Moves, top of the hour, Stormy and Matt. They have, among other guests, ESPN host and radio play-by-play announcer for the Carolina Panthers, Anish Shroff. I know Anish from back in the day. We were on some fledgling podcast network in like the early aughts.
Really?
Oh my, not the early aughts, but like the late aughts. He wouldn't remember it, but he's such a nice guy, such a good guy.
All right.
Then stick around for Prop Points with John Hansen at 2 p.m. After Money Moves, then Make It Rain with Adam Schein from 3 to 4. And I know I went too long because the music's over.
So yeah, we don't run out of music very often.
Sorry, I could have talked about the whole schedule for the whole segment if you wanted me to. But the music ran out.
Gil goes through the whole schedule and has comments on every one of the guests.
It's on every show. That's right. Well, here's what I feel about this guest lineup. Let's talk some college football. It's been a while since we've had him on. Always like it because we talk college basketball with him, college baseball even. Now some college football. He's assistant director of trading at The Win. It's our old buddy Matt Lindemann, everybody. You can follow him on Twitter at LindaTrain, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Matty? What's happening?
What's good, guys? I like the new digs.
Thank you. Well, thank you very much. I like your digs there. Is that a kitchenette there on the over your right shoulder? What is that over there?
Yeah.
Okay. A little kitchen guy.
Okay. Let's get some games and then get some futures comments after this. Let's start with your three pack of games. Oklahoma State at Kansas State. Oklahoma State comeback falling short against Utah this past week. Kansas State got crushed by the great BYU starting quarterback and the Cougars there. And Oklahoma State here is a 4.5-point dog at K-State. What do you got here?
Yeah, this is an interesting game. I think they maybe made a little bit of an overreaction to the Oklahoma State home loss to Utah. Obviously, Oklahoma State didn't know who to prepare for in that game. We couldn't figure out who the quarterback was going to be until the game started. So definitely a tough situation for Oklahoma State. Now they come on the road, catch some points against a Kansas State team who I haven't been terribly impressed with. I thought they looked good against Arizona, but they were fighting to the death with Tulane and then last week, obviously, didn't look very good against BYU. So I'm a little surprised this number opened as high as it did. I've got it a little closer to 3.5. And I played the dog here. I think just a little bit too much credit being given to Kansas State in this spot. So I did play the dog. And then I also played over when it came out at 51.5. I thought that was a little bit low. I think it should be about where it is right now at 55.5, 56.
Okay, so no play on the over at the current price. But
no, I wouldn't touch it now.
But you will take the Cowboys plus the points here in this one. All right, then Wazoo at Boise State. Everybody was talking about the Colorado ending this past week, but for those who were up late, man, the Wazoo San Jose State Spartan game was just unbelievable. The Spartans led, I don't know if you saw this, Kelly, they led by two touchdowns in the fourth quarter. This was amazing. And then Wazoo comes back. They trailed by 14 in the fourth quarter. They come back. They end up down three. With, by the way, they came back, then they relinquished the lead again. They're down three. They have like, there's like 37 seconds left on the clock. Somehow they get into field goal range, and Janikowski, no relation to Sebastian, kicks a 52-yarder. It forces overtime. Overtime starts. San Jose State gets picked, and you're like, oh, this game's over. No. Then Wazoo gets picked. Wazoo ends up scoring 8 in the second overtime. San Jose State gets 6 but misses the two-point conversion. It's unbelievable. 54-52.
That was a hell of a recap. With Gil not going off of anything on the computer. Wow.
Unbelievable.
It's like I was there.
Thank you very much. At Boise State, the Broncos favored by 7.5 here, Matt. What do you got?
You know, I'm on an island with this one. Everyone I've talked to has this number right around where market currently sits. I've got Boise way higher. I've got it like 13 in this game. So looking at Boise State, I've been really high on Boise State all year. I bet them to win the conference a few weeks ago at minus 155. It went against me after UNLV beat Kansas, and I added a little bit more. And honestly, I think when you look at the Sluka news now with UNLV, it's an even better bet at minus 125, minus 130 a few spots. Looking at this Boise State team, they are far and away the best rushing team in the country through three games against FBS competition. I mean, they are absolutely dominating on the ground with Ashton Jeanty. So if this Boise State team can run the ball like that against Washington State, I think it's going to be a long day. Obviously, Washington State lost a Heisman frontrunner in Cam Ward. I don't know if they've really faced an opponent that can expose that deficiency for them. So I think this is a big step up in competition, and I laid the points with Boise.
Yeah, Boise State just losing to Oregon by a field goal a few weeks back. That's it. You think Jeanty is a legit Heisman candidate or not really?
Probably not. I mean, his stats are insane. He's probably going to have, 1,500 plus rushing yards. I'm sure he might get invited to New York, But I'm guessing they'll find one of those power four quarterbacks to give the award to, like they always do.
Yeah. Remember, Kelly, there's the invite and then there's the actual legit chance at winning the guys,
That's right. Yeah. The sympathy invite. Yeah.
Colorado at UCF. I would go through the Colorado game, but I think most people saw that amazing ending for Colorado. Their Hail Mary in regulation against Baylor and then the win in overtime at UCF. UCF trailed by as many as 21 in the second half at TCU. They had three kicks blocked, two field goals and an extra point that they had to overcome to beat the Horned Frogs, but they do so in the end. 14.5 point favorites against the Buffaloes here.
Yeah, I was really shocked by this one when this came out. I thought it would open around 11 or 12, and then I saw it just get steamrolled right up to 14.5, 15 after it opened. So I know there's a lot of people looking to fade the Buffs off that really lucky win last week. But looking at UCF, I'm just not overwhelmed. You know, they don't get to the quarterback, so Shadur's going to have all day to throw. They don't really defend the pass that well. So Colorado, who's, I think, first in the country in pass percentage, is going to be throwing the ball all day. I just really think this is a big number. And the great thing about betting this game is you can be down 21, 24, 28 points at halftime. And with that Colorado passing attack against TCU's pass defense, you're going to have a shot at getting the back door in the last couple drives. So that's something you've got going for you as well. I actually played under in this game on the total. I made it around 60, 60 and a half. It's sitting there at 63, 63 and a half. UCF runs the ball like crazy, and they haven't really played fast tempo. So I think this is a really high total when your favorite doesn't really throw the ball all that often. So I expect that to come down a little bit. I took some under 63 and a half.
Okay, so let's review. At current prices, you like Oklahoma State plus the points against K-State. You like Boise State laying the points against Wazoo. And you like Colorado plus the points and the under in this ball game against UCF. While we have you, Matt, let's talk some conference futures. If you're down, let's start with Conference USA. Where's the bet there?
So my thing with conference futures, I'm looking to target a conference that has a weak favorite, a favorite that I don't feel has necessarily justified their price. And that's what we have in the Conference USA with Liberty. So I was looking for the team that I felt like was the biggest riser this year in the Conference USA. And so far that's been Sam Houston. So after week two, I took 16-1 with Sam Houston, and I took a little bit more at 10-1 after week three. There's not a ton of value at 8-1 to 9-1 where it is right now. I think I've got it like 5-6-1, but that looked like the team that was the most obvious pick to come up and challenge Liberty and Western Kentucky. So I'm going to be a big Sam Houston fan here in a couple of weeks when they host Western Kentucky.
We were looking at some enrollment stats. This has nothing to do with college football. We're looking at enrollment stats for all the D1 schools in college football.
Yeah.
The highest enrollment, Liberty, of any school. We're shocked by that.
Well, what do you mean?
No, I'm serious. We
like
couldn't believe
undergrad
it.
Undergrad students?
I think that's what it was, yeah. No, not undergrad. Yeah, underground total student population. We saw these stats. It was unbelievable.
Too. Wow.
Yeah, Google.
I'm Googling.
Googling now. Sorry for that aside there, man. All right. The American Athletic. What do you got?
This is another conference where obviously we don't really have a dominant favorite. I think Memphis and Tulane are both showing plenty of question marks. So kind of looking to go through the rest of the conference and see if there's any value. I actually found Army at 30-1 last week. And this is one where if you're just going through looking at the teams and power ratings, it wouldn't really catch your eye. But looking at their schedule, they somehow don't play Memphis, Tulane, or USF in the conference. I don't understand it, but they don't have to play any of the three best teams in the conference. So if Army can rattle off that really easy schedule, they might be able to make a run. And then another team that's worth looking at happens to be Navy. That, you know, Navy looked really good against Memphis last week. I think my numbers have them like 9-1, 10-1 now, and they're sitting around 14, 15. So we actually have a possibility, if Navy and Army could pull this off, that we get an Army-Navy doubleheader back-to-back weeks and an AAC champ and then the Army-Navy game.
Could
so that's what I'm rooting for.
That'd be awesome.
By the way, I know you got Army at 30-1. They're right around plus 850 now. Would you still bet them at that number?
No, I would not take
would
it
not.
At that.
Okay, but Navy you would at their current numbers. Navy's showing anywhere between 12-1 and 14-1. All right, real quick, Big 12, since we talked about Colorado. What about the Big 12?
Again, another weak favorite with Utah. This is one where the market's kind of all over the place. I saw that William Hill Caesars, they put up plus 280 on Utah this week, where everyone else had, you know, plus 60, plus 70. So I actually scalped a little bit of that with the Circa no price and ended up giving myself, I think, plus 365. So that's an interesting one. But I'm not as high on UCF as other people in this conference. So I think you can go through, look through the standings and keep an eye on this over the next couple of weeks and see how things shake out. I think Iowa State might be a candidate if they can keep going. I played their win total over 8 this week, actually, at Caesars. So this is definitely one I'm going to be watching every week because it wouldn't surprise me at all with Utah not having a healthy rising if they don't end up running away with it.
All right. Oh, we only have 5 seconds here, Matt, but give me one team answer to the MAC. What are you betting the MAC?
Bowling Green. I'm riding Bowling Green. I think I've got them plus 210 now. Love them preseason, and love what I've seen against from them against Penn State and Texas A&M. So BG is the team I'm rolling with in the MAC.
Matt, great seeing you, man. Thank you.
All right, thank you guys.
Matt Lindemann, everybody, at LindaTrain on Twitter. Stormy and Matt are next with Money Moves. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.